Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, next up, we all know about processed foods, but a new term has cropped up that's becoming more widely known. I'm sure you've heard about it, ultra-processed foods. So what is the difference between them and what do we need to watch out for? I'm joined in the studio by dietitian with the Irish Nutrition and Dietetic Institute, Louise Reynolds. Louise, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Claire.
So much talk about ultra-processed foods. It can be a bit confusing. You don't know what to eat and what's right and what's wrong. So
I know. And I think this term has really cropped up a lot now. It's been around for a number of years. It's sort of based on a way to classify foods. And I think it was probably aimed to make it a little bit easier for people. But in fact, I think it's maybe confused things a little bit. So the idea is that, you know, we all know really what a fresh food is, you know, an egg or a piece of fish or a piece of lean meat. That's just a food, a fresh food. And then we all would kind of know a processed food is something that you get in a packet that has been processed or changed in some way.
Like cheese.
Yes, cheese, for example, or butter has been made from milk originally. But then you go more processed. You think of a packet of biscuits, you know, which started out as, you know, flour and all of the ingredients, and chocolate started out as milk and so on, and they end up in a biscuit. So there's a whole range. But so what they tried to do was to say, look, if they divide it into four categories, the very unprocessed foods, which are the fresh foods, fruit and vegetables and so on, processed ingredients like butter, which we tend to use in small amounts and we don't really eat them on their own. So olive oil and butter, we tend to eat them with other foods. Then we have kind of processed foods that are things like canned vegetables or tinned fish, which allow us to keep a food for longer. We can have them in our cupboard at home. So really useful. They're preserved for longer. But then the fourth category are these ultra processed foods. And really what they've tried to say is, look, all of the other foods are a great part of your diet. The ultra processed foods are the ones you need to keep an eye on, the quantities. But I think really that applies right across the board. You know, the old saying, the dose make it the poison. You know, I think dietitians would never ban a food. And I don't think you've probably ever heard me saying, you know, do never eat that food or cut that food out. But it's the amounts of them. So the ultra processed foods are things that really, if you look at a label, you see ingredients there that you don't have in your kitchen. You know, so they're very chemical terms, or and they tend to be flavorings, emulsifiers. So, for example, to make a mayonnaise, you need to emulsify, have something there to keep the oil and the binder together, you know, because generally if you make a mayonnaise at home, it's going to separate. Mm-hmm. So that allows us to have things like mayonnaise in our cupboard. So mayonnaise would be an ultra processed food, but that doesn't mean that you can never have it. But it's just to try and alert people to say, if you see a really long list of ingredients, of words you don't recognise or things you don't really see in your kitchen, maybe keep an eye on those foods. And that's not very different to the advice that we would say the top shelf of the food pyramid, cakes, biscuits, pastries, you know, those very processed foods, we generally say eat few of them anyway. So it's kind of the same advice.
Right. So is the problem then that our diet is changing so much, the availability of these ultra processed foods,
exactly,
has, you know, changed too, and we might be at risk of eating too much?
Oh, absolutely. We are at risk of eating too much. And there's certain studies that have been carried out in the US and in the UK have said in some groups of the population, up to 60% of the diet could be these ultra processed foods. So, for example, you know, takeaway or pizzas that you buy at the freezer cabinet, they're very handy to have at home. But for a lot of us, we don't use those types of foods every day for dinner. We probably cook fresh dinners. And then if you're in a hurry or if it's a Friday evening and everyone is tired, you say, look, we'll pop in a few pizzas that I have in there. And they're absolutely fine. But it's the over-reliance on those foods. And again, the advice has, or the research has found that in certain groups of the population, particularly maybe in lower socioeconomic groups, there could be an over-reliance on ultra-processed foods because very often they may not, they may be easier to get. They're kind of buy one, get one free. They're a cheaper source of calories. So if somebody is struggling with their budget, they may think, these foods are handy to have. So that's just where the over-reliance of them is the problem. And if you look back, and actually you had Kevin Dundon in here yesterday. I was listening, talking about his granny's kind of recipes. And I have recipes that my mum has written down. And we all do dinners that we cook at home that our own children love. And, you know, we can pass on recipes. But a lot of those skills are being lost now. And, you know, there are certain groups of the population where they don't really, you know, have the cooking skills and they've been lost. So there could be an over-reliance on the ultra-processed food. So definitely our food has changed. It used to be most of our foods would come from the first two categories, you know, the very fresh foods, meat, veg and potatoes, you know, and no one is going to go back to not having processed foods. But we need to keep an eye on the way we're cooking and the kind of foods we're eating, particularly when it comes to feeding children as well. And I know that when you were away in here, I was talking to Philip in here about campaign that Safe Food have around in supermarkets, you know, the eye level that children are seeing all of these processed foods now at their eye level in supermarkets. And that needs to change our whole food environment. So if we look around when you go into a supermarket, there are so many processed foods, and we do need to kind of step back and say, yes, they could be convenient, but are they really the best things in terms of nutrition?
Well, when I was away on my holidays and we were in France, the children were obsessed with this Nutri-Score they have on processed foods. So you have an A, B, C or D rating on most processed foods. And it became like a competition who could find an A or a B on the aisles. And if you were getting a D, they were aware.
They were aware that that wasn't something that, wasn't that healthy for them.
Or they put it back because they realised that this was not something. And it was really useful for me because I wasn't the nagging one. They were doing it themselves.
Okay,
and they have something like that in Australia as well, this Health Star rating system.
That's right. And there's a traffic light system as well in the UK. And again, that is something that, you know, they're talking about bringing in here. It's just at a glance to give people, you know, a sign of a red or a yellow or a green. Now, there are some foods, unfortunately, that sort of fall foul of that type of system. And you mentioned cheese earlier. So, for example, cheese would probably get a red star because it is high in fat. But if you have a small amount of cheese, it's a really good source of protein and calcium.
Yeah.
It's a really good dairy product.
You
and
see,
similarly,
you're right, because my son was saying to me, oh, this is the D. But he didn't realise that you only have a very small amount of cheese.
Yes,
and it's
exactly
it's fine
so,
to
so,
have
so
that.
You kind of nearly need to be doing a bit of math sometimes if you're looking at labels. And it's great for children to be aware of it. And there are lots of good resources. You know, you can kind of go onto the Safe Food website and have a look. And they do give kind of information about how to read labels because it can get really confusing. But for example, I looked this morning in the fridge at home at a tub of natural yogurt, and natural yogurt comes out as an ultra or yogurt comes out in this categorization as an ultra processed food. But I would disagree with that, obviously, because yogurt has so many benefits. However, there are so many different yogurts. Natural yogurt is not the same as a chocolate flavored yogurt with a cartoon character on the side, which really veers more towards a dessert. And it's very processed and there would be lots of additives. But when I looked at the tub of natural yogurt, there were on the side two ingredients. The first one was milk and the second one was the cultures that they add to make yogurt. Because yogurt, obviously, you have to add in the healthy bacteria, which then convert the milk into yogurt.
You know, but the poor old natural yogurt falls into the ultra processed
category. Yes. So that's where I feel it's a little, it can be a bit confusing. And I wouldn't say to people to be living their lives by this, but it is a good way of kind of having a think and saying, okay, you know, if I'm going to look at a label, what am I looking for? So if you look at a really long list of ingredients, sometimes something like sugar, for example, which we do know that we need to keep an eye on, particularly for dental health for children. Sugar has so many different names. You know, it can be under, it can be called honey, it can be called glucose, it can be inverted syrup, it can be molasses. So all of these, so there could be four or five of them and they all look different, but they're all different types of sugar that are being added, you know. So, and something like that, you know, inverted corn syrups, we don't have that as an ingredient in our kitchen. So that's why they say if you see things that you don't recognise in your own kitchen, that's something that is an ultra processed food. It doesn't mean you can never have it. We all have ultra processed foods in our kitchen and in our cupboards at home. But just don't have it's the over-reliance on those foods that can lead
Keep
to an imbalance
on
in your diet. You know, go back to fresh fruit and vegetables, lean meat, fish, chicken, your carbohydrate foods, so whole grain, pastas, you know, breads, rice, even something like packaged bread would be an ultra-processed food in this categorisation.
Yeah, it's another thing really that falls foul of the classification, isn't
it?
Bread and some cereal as well,
which
mightn't be too awful for you to eat, but it's falling into the ultra-processed.
And again, I was looking at a packet of cereal. You know, and again, I have a few different breakfast cereals at home. Some of them are very, from porridge and the kind of bran type biscuits, which have very few ingredients in them. But then you look at a more processed cereal and it does have a really long list of ingredients. But then a lot of those ingredients are added vitamins and minerals and iron. So some of those cereals can be a really good way because you're having milk on them as well. So it's a good way for children to get in extra vitamins and minerals. But again, you know, the very sugary ones, you need to keep an eye on those. So, you know, I sometimes think, you know, because I've studied nutrition, I can kind of navigate all of this, but I do think it's difficult and I do think it's confusing. And I think for people, you know, when they're in a supermarket, it can be, you know, you're being bombarded by new and buy one, get one free and special offers. And then if you have children with you, they're trying to put things into the supermarket basket as well. So, you know, it's just something to be aware of. I wouldn't like people to become overly anxious around food. That's another issue. You know, people are afraid to eat anything, and that's not healthy either. Mm-hmm. So it's just to be aware, it's kind of at the moment, a few people have written books about it and there's a lot of discussion. So it's a bit of a buzzword at the moment. But when you really kind of drill down into it, it's not that difficult, that different, I should say, from the advice that we've been giving for a long time.
The advice has been there. Well, this listener would like to know what you'd recommend for people who can't eat gluten and dairy products to avoid the ultra processed food, because they say that they seem to be the only alternative in many cases.
Yeah, well, I suppose obviously the labels are really useful for somebody who has a medically diagnosed condition. For example, if somebody is celiac and they need to avoid gluten, the labels are absolutely a godsend. They need to do that. But that's where you see, I would say, a gluten-free bread is a really important part of a celiac's diet because they need to get their carbohydrate and they can't have regular bread. You know, it's no point in saying go back to making the bread yourself. We don't have the time. And now for somebody with celiac disease, there are so many options. It's fantastic. So again, I would say I wouldn't worry too much about that. Buy your bread. And again, similarly, if you have a dairy allergy, you need to go for a dairy alternative. So either a soya milk, we know, is the one that's most similar in terms of protein. We've spoken about that before. But there are so many milk drinks now, milk type drinks, which are not dairy based, plant based milks.
But you've told us we have to be careful with those as well, because some of them are very processed, aren't they?
Well, they're all processed, I suppose, you know, because they've come from a bean, for example, and then it's been made. So they would be classified as ultra processed. But if somebody, you know, must avoid dairy or chooses to avoid the dairy milk, there are a range of good ones and better ones. Some are higher in protein, some will have more sugars added. So again, the label will give you the information there. But that's what I mean. You don't need to avoid them altogether, but just be aware, you know, that there is evidence now that they're probably not the best choice for the vast majority of your diet.
We haven't talked about the risks of overindulging in ultra-processed foods. Like, is there any hard evidence about what it might be doing to us?
Yeah, well, there was a study carried out earlier this year, and I think it was in April of this year. And again, it was kind of a meta-analysis where scientists looked at a whole range of studies and they're kind of extrapolating from that who was eating what kinds of foods and what outcomes they had in terms of health. And the diets, the people who were eating more ultra-processed foods definitely had poorer outcomes in terms of their risk of heart disease, their risk of those long-term, you know, maybe risk of certain types of cancers. However, it's very difficult to pin those types of studies down. Was it just the diet or was it the fact that those people who were relying more on the ultra processed foods maybe also had less of an income to, you know, avail of healthier foods? Maybe they also were smokers. Maybe they, you know, also had less exercise. They weren't able to access a soccer club or, you know, a tennis court to go and play sport more. So while they do kind of control for a lot of those factors, the scientists who would do these studies, it's still hard to pull them out. But definitely they did come out as kind of, not surprisingly, saying this is not the kind of diet you should rely on. Mm-hmm. And again, that is our modern day now, Claire. You know, we have become so focused on convenience. People, you know, are going out buying coffees and all the rest, which we didn't do that when I was growing up. You know, you didn't walk down the street eating all the time. That was something that you saw maybe in American movies. Now we're doing it here. You know, the globalization of foods and everybody wants to have access to everything and nobody eats really in season anymore. You know, we want to have strawberries on our Christmas desserts. Whereas really, when I was growing up, you'd strawberries in kind of, you know, June and July, or, you know, they were the Wexford strawberries and they were delicious, but you didn't have them all year round. So we can't go back. We can't go back to, you know, making everything from scratch. People are now busy. They have busier lives. But
you don't have, in many cases, you don't have mammy at home who can put dinner on the table in the middle of the day.
No, that's absolutely not.
Not realistic.
And, you know, mammy's out
families.
Working and mammy still is probably thinking of what's for dinner tonight.
All the time.
Yeah, exactly. And somehow daddy mightn't think of that as often. So, you know, we have to be realistic. But certainly when you're cooking at home, lots of fresh fruit and vegetables, including meat, you know, a couple of times a week, including fish in the diet. Dairy foods are a great source of calcium. We've spoken so many times here about osteoporosis risk and bone health. So having milk and dairy products in your diet is really important as well. And then keeping an eye on those very ultra processed foods, which again, if anybody has seen the food pyramid, and there have been critics of it over the years, but it does give you a visual representation. The bigger the shelf, the more of those foods you need to include in your diet for health. The smaller the shelf, the less of those foods you need. So if you actually look, the very bottom shelf is just full of fruit and vegetables. The next shelf is carbohydrate foods, and again, go for the browner ones more often for fibre. The next shelf is dairy. It's getting smaller each time. Then the protein foods. And at the very top are the ones we need to keep an eye on.
And they're the ultra, in the main.
They're the ultra processed foods. So to try and simplify it, because I do think, you know, it's a term that's been thrown around. I wouldn't like people to feel overwhelmed and think, oh my God, I don't know what to eat. I've just give up. You know, it is a different way of looking at it, but it's kind of the same message that we're kind of
always,
you know, focusing
back to the basics.
Yeah. And more cooking, as Kevin was saying yesterday, home cooking, just family meals, trying to simple things, you know. We're coming into back to school time, stews, shepherd's pies, chicken, one tray bakes that you can throw in the oven, and there's vegetables in there, there's some protein in there. If children have it with a glass of milk with their dinner, you know, keeping it simple.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where you need to go to try and get all of the nutrition in there.
Louise, thank you as always. Lovely to see you
and
with
you
your
too.
Common sense. That's Louise Reynolds, dietitian with the Irish Nutrition and Dietetic Institute. Now, coming up next, those hefty sentences for the British rioters. They've left prisons there on the brink with overcrowding problems. Mark Paul joins us from London after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.